And welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Beginning today, San Antonians can voice their concerns about the city budget. There's going to be hearings across town over the next several weeks. The highlights of the budget are, for the fiscal year 2014, the budget is balanced. That's required by law. No city property tax will be increased, and it is maintaining the current public safety staffing levels. But there are some other issues that people are concerned with the budget. The long-term outlook of the rising cost of public safety being one. And to help us work through the budget and educate the public about this budget, because it's going to impact you, we've got District 10 Councilmember Carlton Soles in the studio and District 7 Councilmember Chris Medina on the line. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Chris, how are you doing?
Hey, Carlton.
Our phone number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got a question or a comment for our guest, give us a call. You can also email those questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. So let me ask you, Councilman Soles, what is your is there anything in the budget really that concerns you?
Well, I think the main thing that concerns me is not so much the budget, it's how we're making up the budget shortfall. We came into this session with a projected $50 million shortfall. So we're looking at potential cuts across various departments, and I think that's necessary. One of the things, though, that concerns me is that we're looking at one-time fixes, or essentially patches, to make up for the shortfall, and two of those patches are selling property or assets of the city and putting that into operating, and then taking bond savings dollars and putting that against operating. So I really have an issue when we begin to start, you know, taking from Peter to pay Paul to balance a budget.
Councilman Medina of District 7, are these your concerns as well, or are there other things that you've caught on to on the budget?
Well, absolutely. I think Councilman Soles is precisely on point. Any time that we have to look at, you know, there's no doubt that cuts are inevitable whenever there's a shortfall. But I think it's the departments and the areas that impact the community. That's where my concern is, and we got to be very mindful and as council members that the cuts that we do make are going to have an impact back in the community, and it's our job to minimize that.
So as you look at the budget, are you also looking at that together with what's happening with CPS Energy asking for a rate increase, SAWS also asking for a rate increase? So these become, to the citizen and the homeowner, you know, a burden more and more so.
Well, let me jump in then, Chris. I think that one of the things we have to be concerned with is that we're still in a tough economy, and that households have been struggling, and they're still struggling. And so it's not as simple as saying, what's the next great project or plan we want to come up with? We have to pay for things. And so as we look at taking a CPS increase, we look at a SAWS increase, we're also looking at property valuations going up, so people's tax bill to the city for property taxes is going to increase. Against that backdrop, we have to be very careful, you know, how much burden we put on the citizens to maintain what we've already got.
Councilman Medina?
Yes, no question. My families, you know, across San Antonio and certainly families in my district are feeling the squeeze. When you have SAWS that just came to us for a rate increase, we have the proposed rate hike from CPS, which I've questioned because of the fact that in the past 2 years, they've roughly spent about almost $60 million in executive pay bonuses. Which I think is tough to explain to the average homeowner that's, you know, trying to pay their rates and then watching it escalate as it is. So it's going to be very important for us to make sure that we can ease that burden for the families in District 7 certainly and across the city.
Looking at the city budget and where the expenditures are, 66% of it goes to emergency services. That's fire and police. Is that the problem? Is that, you know, too much, or is that needs to be taken a look at? Councilman Soles?
I think that, you know, first and foremost, the top priority of the city of San Antonio is public safety, and that's fire, police, EMS protection. So, you know, I know that as we move forward, we're going to have some pretty frank discussions about pensions and legacy funds, things of that nature. But our police and fire departments do a fantastic job. We do need to make sure that they have the proper resources. So that has to be our first priority. What I don't want to find is that we're getting in a situation where we are foregoing an EMS or a truck, fire truck that we need because of a tight budget, and that we're putting money towards special projects like Hemisphere Park, for instance. So what I've asked is, let's prioritize. Let's make sure we go through a process where we know what's really important and we focus there.
And the San Antonio Police Department in the upcoming budget will no longer be nationally accredited because they're going to forego that in order to save money. So evidently there is some cost analysis going on in the budget. Does that reassure you, Councilman Medina?
Well, I think that the first job and priority for the police department and fire department is to keep our constituents safe. And I know it's a tough job that they have to do at the same time trying to manage budgets. It's my hope that we're able to work with the city manager and work with the prospective departments, the police department and fire department, to ensure that they have the resources that they need, because, like Councilman Soule said, that's the number one priority that we are elected to do, is to make sure that we have the adequate answers for public safety in the community.
So there is a $50 million gap in the budget that is being shored up by City Manager Cheryl Scully. We hear this every year, that she scrubs the budget and she finds inefficiencies, and it seems like there's got to be a point where there's a limited return on budget scrubbing. Have we hit that point now?
We're pretty close to having reached that point where we can just go look for minor efficiencies. We're at the point where we need to start looking at priorities and deciding what's important, what's not. You know, the number one thing coming out of the districts is concerns about the condition of our roads. They're in poor shape. We're only going to spend $35 million this year on public works for road repair, and we have a $6 billion problem. So when we look at that, and then we look at can we afford $35, $40, $50 million for a streetcar project? We have to put everything on the table and talk about it, because, again, we can't keep going to the citizens and saying we need more.
And Councilman Medina?
Absolutely. I think it is about priorities as well. Whenever we have to look towards the library department and we're scrubbing another $1.5 million from their department, you know, those are key elements in our community that we need to ensure that are there for many years to come. And if we keep cutting those departments and those services that we have, that brings concern to me. In addition, we're going to see a 5% cut across the board for delegate agencies that do a lot of social services in the community. So I just don't know how much more that we can continue to cut and scrub without looking at the priorities. And there's no doubt we have some tough decisions to make in the coming weeks.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation after this break. We want our listeners to jump in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We haven't talked about a tax increase. I know it's not on the proposal for right now, but what about future years? Have we seen some foreshadowing of a possible tax increase and what that might mean? We want to hear from our listeners, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the San Antonio City budget, $50 million shortfall. It's being shored up by City Manager Cheryl Scully. There are some cutbacks happening in some areas of the city, but they are maintaining the public safety staffing levels, and there is no city property tax rate increase planned as of yet. And there's nothing calling for it for the fiscal year 2014, but there is some concern about maybe in the future, particularly because if you look at the trend of the budget, the expenses for public safety continue to balloon. And so there's concern that a tax increase might be needed to deal with that. Is that something that you've heard about, Councilman Soule?
Yes. It's always interesting when you start to see presentations coming from staff about the merits and all the good things you could do with a property rate increase, tax rate increase, you know it's not far down the way before it gets proposed. So I'm quite against any increase in the property rate, tax rate. And the reason is, for previously stated, valuations are going up. People are already going to get hit with a increased tax bill.
Because property values are going up because the economy is recovering. San Antonio has more people are moving to San Antonio all the time, so the property values go up.
Absolutely. And so, to add an increase in the rate, we're essentially doubling down on the property tax that people pay. So, and even before we get there, before we even think about asking the citizens to take on more of a burden, we need to have the honest dialogue about what our priorities are going to be. I'm hearing $1 billion price tag for Hemisphere Park. Well, is that really where we want our priorities to be? And one of the things that we have not talked about that people don't know is that we've hit our borrowing capacity for the city. Our bonding capacity is tapped out. So what that means is we can't borrow any more money for big capital projects until we either pay down some of the existing debt or we raise property taxes. So we're pretty close to that threshold. It's time to have that discussion.
But San Antonio is one of the few cities that has a AAA bond rating still. Isn't that right, Chris Medina?
Correct. I do have to give kudos to the city manager and her team for ensuring that. That's certainly, like money in the bank, figuratively speaking, that shows confidence in the work that the city manager has done. But also shows confidence in our financial capability as a city. So certainly, when you look at examples like Detroit that have, where things have gone off the tracks, San Antonio, I think, continues to be an example of a strong financial perspective.
And I think, David, that we've done a really good job so far, and the city manager should be commended. But what we don't want to do is get on a path where we're spending more than we're taking in, and we start trying to piecemeal things together to keep on that path, because that's how we run into trouble later down the road.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. If you want to join the conversation, if you've got questions about the city's budget, 614-8980 is the number to call. Weil is on the line. Weil, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. My specific question is, what is being done to raise the productivity of specific departments and individual employees of these departments, workers, city workers. In the private sector, when you literally fire people, everybody else has to take up the slack and do more on less. And so what specifically are we doing in this city to do that, raise the expectations, create more productivity out of our departments?
All right, Weil, thank you for that. We'll see what our council members have to say about that. Councilman Chris Medina.
Absolutely. Great question, and thank you for posing that. I do know for a fact that, over the past couple of budget cycles, the city manager has proposed that staff in prospective departments or different departments be not necessarily laid off, but jobs that aren't filled, that they not be filled, so that responsibilities, in other words, more folks are taking on more responsibilities in their work. So I think that that's leading to more productivity. I think that it's important for the city to function as much as it can like a business. A business must be profitable, and I think if city departments and the city manager and city staff had that mindset, I think we can certainly achieve more productivity and be more efficient. That's, at the end of the day, that's what the taxpayers expect.
We've seen budget reductions year after year, in the city operations. Isn't that right, Councilman Souls?
Yeah, we've had a steady decrease in the number of personnel, so I think Cheryl's done a nice job with that. One of the things to get to the caller's question, we seem to at the city have a fixation on everything needs a consultant. Everything needs an outside study. We spend millions and millions of dollars on studies that wind up on a shelf. So from an efficiency standpoint, I'd like to see more work done by our experts in-house and less reliance on consultants. And I think we can do that with the team that we have in place.
Okay, back to the phones. Tom is on the line. Tom, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just have a question for the two councilmen. You know, as a homeowner and my wife and I both work in the city, I'm concerned, you know, with the reports in the news about cities going bankrupt. And I just wanted to know what, you know, what our city council and what the mayor are doing together to tackle the budget shortfall. To, you know, what are they doing today to prevent San Antonio from getting to that point in the future?
All right, Tom, thank you. Great question. Thank you for that one. So he's talking about Detroit, you know, big bankrupt Detroit. Could that ever happen to San Antonio?
I don't think that could happen anytime soon, but, you know, nobody in Detroit thought it could happen to them either. So we need to start doing the things today that will keep us from that path. And again, anytime we start going down a path that we consistently spend more than we take in, we're heading in the wrong direction.
So Councilman Medina?
Absolutely. I think the that plan starts now. Like Councilman Soule says, you know, we need to be as austere as possible. Be as efficient as possible, and make the tough decisions now before it ever gets close to even resembling Detroit, because certainly that was certainly something that no one thought could happen, and it did. So I think if we take care of things now, we should be fine.
But I also want to look at a little bit of what happened to Detroit. And, you know, they had a habit of chasing businesses off. They raised taxes. Business and people left the city of Detroit to go to the suburbs, and the city collapsed. We need to make sure that we maintain a business-friendly environment, that companies want to come invest in here, that people want to move to San Antonio. If we do that, we'll have the tax base necessary to maintain all the things that we have to do day to day. If we get in a cycle of more taxes, less business, people leaving, like some of the other cities, then we're going to be faced with hard times in the future.
But wasn't it also a legacy cost of pensions and city services that they couldn't? And then they all started cutting services mm-hmm. to try and make that up. And then you accelerated the reason why people wanted to flee the city, because basically the PD and fire didn't really respond to their emergencies.
You never want to get yourself in a situation where you have a downward spiral, where things feed on each other. And it can happen very quickly. So, I mean, it's important that we address the issues now and so that we protect the future.
All right, back to the phones. Paul, Paul, you're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you. My question for the councilman involves possibly changing the city charter to give more authority and responsibilities to the council to draft the budget, to hire department heads, including the police chief, fire chief, and other major department heads, rather than through staff, and also just control that the council and the mayor have more direct control over the agenda. These are all items that it's my understanding that the staff is largely responsible for now, and I personally would like to see the charter changed to give more direct responsibility, particularly for the budget, to the mayor and to the council. Thank you.
Paul, do you think not the city manager has not been doing a good enough job in that area? Oh, we've lost Paul. So he wants to give more power to the city council. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, some people might be scared by that, because sometimes we've had some city council members in years gone by who've been, less than responsible?
Let me start with, traditionally there's been two forms of city government. There's a strong mayor council form of government, and then there's a strong city manager form of government. We've been a strong city manager form of government since 1972, and it's worked for a long time. Last year I recommended that we have a charter committee, and we begin to look at things that affect the charter, and governance was one of them. And it's a very complicated issue, but there are cities that are going to hybrid forms of government that address some of the caller's concerns. I think we need to look at everything. We need to put everything on the table, and we need to chart the course for the next 30 years.
All right, so Chris Medina, we're running out of time, but it sounds like you guys are a little pessimistic about where things are going. Are you?
Well, I think I'm always an optimist. I think that you know, right now the budget is balanced. How we got there, I think that's the work ahead of us. There are going to be some tough decisions, like I've said earlier, that we're going to have to make. But I want to encourage everyone to come out. Today kicks off a series of public input hearings on the budget throughout the city. I think the first one tonight is in District 5. Ours is in District 7 at St. Paul's Community Center. So we want to have folks come out, engage us, but certainly optimistic about the future of San Antonio. I think that it's just our job to make sure that we continue to provide the best future for our residents here in San Antonio.
And Councilman Soles, what's your outlook?
Obviously, I have an optimistic outlook. I mean, this is a great city. I wouldn't be doing this job, and I don't think my colleagues would, if they didn't have an optimistic outlook on San Antonio. So the future is bright. But that said, we're charged with protecting that future, and that means we need to look at the hard things and make sure we're doing right by the citizens. So I think we've got a fantastic future in front of us, but we need to be careful.
Councilman Soles, Councilman Medina, thank you so much for coming on the air, talking to your constituents, and giving us an update on the city budget. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Paul Flav produces the show. Oversight is provided by TPR Program Director Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR Web Editor, and production assistance comes from Catherine Dixon. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.